It's the morning show. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. Lawmakers from both political parties want Governor Tony Evers to fire a staff member who he says recorded a meeting in May. Here's what we know. The governor and two Republican legislative leaders met over the phone. They focused on Wisconsin's stay-home order and COVID-19. Someone who works for the governor recorded the call, and it's public thanks to an open records request. Evers says the staff member was tasked with taking notes and that he didn't know about the recording. Aside from the politics here, it got us wondering, what's legal and beyond that, what's ethical? Katie Culver is an associate professor in the UW-Madison School of Journalism and Mass Communication. She's also the James E. Burgess Chair in Journalism Ethics. Katie, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me, Keely.
How does Wisconsin law limit when people can record phone conversations?
So Wisconsin is what's known as a one-party consent state for recording. So that means that you and I are on this call. I could record it without asking your permission and not be in any legal trouble. The issue in this case, though, is that if someone is not a party to the call, then we run into more legal concerns. So the consent has to come from one person who's a party to the call. The question here is whether the person who recorded it actually could be considered a party to the call.
Okay, so somebody may have been listening to the call, but that doesn't necessarily make them a party to it?
Yes, that's the hot topic right now.
And is this common that there are states that have laws where as long as I'm one of the people talking, I don't have to check with anybody else to be legal in recording it?
Yep, there are a number of states that are one-party consent states. If we just drive a little bit south to Illinois, all of the parties to the call need to consent to a recording. And if you are recording a call that crosses state lines, then federal law applies, and that is multi-party consent as well.
Hmm. We're taking your calls as we talk with Katie Culver about recording and the ethics and the legality of recording phone calls or video chats, focusing on digital privacy right now. And there's a line for you at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about recording phone calls or conversations over different digital platforms? Have you ever recorded phone calls with your friends or family or for work? What are your practices? Help us understand what's on your mind by calling 800-642-1234 or emailing ideas@wpr.org. What happens, Katie, in a state where you know the phone call might involve multiple people and you're supposed to get permission, but maybe you didn't? I mean, how is that sorted out?
Well, it can be a crime. It can rise to the level of felony to record without consent. So it's taken quite seriously. But I think instead of focusing solely on the law, we also should be thinking about the ethics of this and whether it's right to be doing this even in a one-party consent state where it may be legal.
Right. And I mean, happy to go there right now. How do we try to figure out if that's an appropriate thing to do?
You know, actually, the world of journalism ethics provides us some guidance here. You know, this is a big question for reporters, whether you should be recording sources without their consent. And while it may be legal, I think there's a wide consensus that unless, you know, absent a compelling justification, it's not a choice that you should make. When reporters call to ask for advice on this, I usually say never go in through an open back window if you haven't first tried to knock on the door and ask to come in. So, if it's a truly compelling case where there's no other way to get this information and it's truly important to the public, it serves the public interest, then you may be able to justify a surreptitious recording. But in most cases, journalists would avoid it. I think that is a good standard for public officials to apply as well.
Interesting, because right now we're looking at it and it could very well affect the political realm here.
Oh, certainly. You've seen this incredibly politicized right from the get-go, from the minute that the word of the recording came out through the open records request. And again, this is one of those cases where, you know, had this choice not been made, if we didn't have this recording, we might be having much more important conversations about how the state did respond to the Supreme Court's ruling and whether we are okay reopening after Safer at Home, what the public health data look like. But we're spending a lot of time fighting about a surreptitious recording.
We're talking about phone recordings and privacy issues with Katie Culver. She's an associate professor from the Journalism School at UW-Madison. We're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Are you spending more time on the phone or on video chats right now? If you were an elected official, how do you think you'd feel if someone recorded a phone call with you without your consent? Would that be okay? What about the law or the ethical considerations are you thinking about right now? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Katie, this goes beyond phone calls, though. When we have video chats with many, many people, we have lots of teams from offices who are now meeting together like this. How does Wisconsin's law apply here? What should we think about?
Well, there are all sorts of different considerations. So one thing right now that has arisen is the question of telehealth visits. So if I'm visiting with my doctor, you know, what are my patient protections and how is my privacy protected there? When students meet with a university professor in office hours, could you accidentally trigger a recording and that student might disclose some highly sensitive information or even just average information that we want to keep private, even if it's nothing incendiary? So we're in this world right now where capture is so incredibly easy, but we haven't had a lot of conversations about what responsibilities come along with these technologies.
Well, and not just with recording them or having the recordings, but the responsibilities after it's already in existence, what we do with that, whether we can delete it or not, I assume would depend on whether we're subject to open records requests or if it might be an ethical violation for us to delete something, even if it was accidentally recorded. This is complicated.
Right. Well, certainly in the case of public officials, we have to err on the side of retaining records once they're created. And while I think it was just a massive error to record this meeting without consent, I think the administration was right to preserve the recording and to respond to the open records request as it did.
That's interesting because it did exist. And the reason we're able to hear audio from it is almost kind of separate from how it came about in the first place. There are two different conversations here.
Right. And I think the outlet that initially published it, the Journal Sentinel, they had to go through some reasoning themselves about, you know, knowing that this was recorded the way that it was, should they be running this? Was the information important enough? Was it truly in the public interest or was it just salacious? And I think, you know, given the content of the meeting, I think you could make an argument, a strong argument, that it served the public interest to publish.
So that's it, right. It's not automatic that just because something is public that news outlets have to report it or replay it. There's another layer of ethical considerations that has to happen when media are considering whether to use the information.
Right. So, you know, if Voss and Evers had been saying, oh, that Katie Culver, she's just such a twit. I think you might have an argument that should not be published, that if it was just sort of a gossipy kind of session, that it doesn't serve the public interest to have it put out there. But they were talking about state response to a pandemic, and that certainly did serve the public interest to know what was happening in that meeting.
Yeah, certainly not a black and white issue here as we go through trying to discern the gray area of what's ethical when we have recorded phone calls or video calls. What's on your mind about this? 800-642-1234. Do you think it makes a difference if people are public officials or should we follow the same ethical guidelines regardless? Have you ever recorded a phone conversation so that you had the record for it? What did you do with that? And did you let the other person know or ask them about it, even if it was legal? 800-642-1234. Our conversation continues here on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. This is The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina. As we try to slow the spread of the contagious coronavirus, we're spending more time apart, but that doesn't necessarily mean less communication. We're on phone calls and conference lines. We're logging to Zoom and FaceTime and WebEx and Google Meets and more. So what, if any, privacy do we have? Could what we're saying be recorded legally? How about ethically? We're asking those questions and yours here on the Ideas Network. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. We're talking digital communication and privacy these days with Katie Culver. She's an associate professor in the UW-Madison School of Journalism and Mass Communication. And Marty from Lake Geneva is on the line. Good morning, Marty.
Hello?
Hi, Marty.
This isn't Marty.
Okay, sounds great. Are we talking with Gary from Iron River then? Oh, I'm not sure what's happening with the phones, but we'll go back to them in just a minute because we are taking your calls at 800-642-1234. And Katie, we did have a question from Marty in Lake Geneva who was trying to clarify a little bit more about like the consent here, because the person who recorded the phone call with Governor Evers and legislative leaders wasn't a reporter who recorded the call. So Marty was wondering if they have more leeway there.
They don't have any more legal leeway, so the consent requirements apply to all. But ethically, they may say, well, I'm not a reporter, so I don't have to follow journalism ethics. But in this case, I think journalism ethics are a good guideline for others. You know, these are questions that have been hammered out in newsrooms over decades and lots of controversial cases that give us some guidance. I think you saw a lot of people of all political stripes saying, this doesn't feel right that this was secretly recorded, and I think that sort of unease in the gut should make you think about what kinds of reasoning we could apply to this. And I think the reasoning that we get out of not just journalism ethics, but professional ethics overall, whether it's right to record something in a board meeting, for instance, is a common question in business ethics. So I think these professional ethics that have been honed over decades can provide guidance in these kinds of situations.
All right, we've got a question from Gary in Iron River. Hi, Gary.
Good morning, ladies. Say, I'd like to understand more about how specific the open records request had to be. And I'm trying to find out, does that mean that the fact that a recording existed had to be leaked for the reporter to make the correct open records request? And then one could conclude perhaps the intent of the recording was to leak it and make it public.
Yeah, I'm not sure on the intent, Gary, and certainly I think people are talking about that. But the question of, does somebody have to know about a record for us to ask for the record, Katie?
No, that's a fantastic question, Gary. It's something that's often misunderstood. So open records requests are made with specificity for documents relating to, relating to a certain situation, but they're usually very expansive in the request. So the request may include language, and there are all sorts of boilerplate letters out there, but it may include language saying any records related to to gubernatorial action in response to the Supreme Court order. These may include, but not be limited to, paper records, emails, recordings. So the records requests are usually written to rope in as many records as possible.
So then the person being asked to provide things then has to determine what fits in this category. What do I need to turn over to be following the law?
Correct. So there's a records custodian for each level and branch and agency, and they make a determination of what is and is not a record. So one of the things that often gets discussed is whether something is a draft, which does not have to be released. But in this case, I think Governor Evers' administration correctly concluded that this was a record that needed to be released. So while, you know, some may suspect that there was, you know, something afoot here to try to leak it and get the recording out, I think it's very plausible and in fact probable that this was just merely a response to a well-written records request.
We've got Ben from West Salem who has a question during our conversation here. Hi, Ben.
Hi. I am a medical patient. I make lots of calls across the country for medical needs, and I'm wondering, I was listening to this conversation and intrigued, how does that the federal law, being that not all states are single-party consent, how does that apply, say, when I call California and they record my conversation? And my concern is I'm giving my medical information and quite a bit of details out for for some of this medical equipment. Am I able to tell them I wish it not to be recorded? Or how would I do that?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Ben. Katie, where do we start here?
Well, I would never want to give legal advice because I am not an expert on patient privacy, but I would expect that you would be able to assert your HIPAA rights, your federal healthcare privacy rights. And it's important to note that in records cases, kind of like the one that we're talking about now, any open record, there is an automatic exemption for other privacy laws. So your health privacy rights are protected. Your health records are not open records. Student privacy rights are respected. So you can't get my transcript from the University of Wisconsin without my consent. In general, I would say you should have the expectation that no interaction with a healthcare professional it should be recorded without your consent. They shouldn't be keeping records without your consent. And under the healthcare privacy laws, you do have a right to consult someone about the keeping of your records within an organization. So you can contact, say, an ombudsperson to ask about record keeping to make sure that your privacy needs are being met.
All right. Thanks for the question, Ben. We're talking about privacy issues in the digital age with Katie Culver. She specializes in journalism ethics at UW-Madison. And we've got Tom from Madison who also wants to weigh in here. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
What's on your mind?
Well, I just have a couple comments. I believe that these are public servants and all conversations and interactions they have need to be 100% transparent. They are paid with taxpayer dollars. Secondly, this is, to me, seems like just a distraction from the, at a minimum, insensitive remarks made by Robin Voss. And third, it should be expected that everything legislators say in a formal meeting should not only be available, but published. I would like to see the minutes published in the newspaper.
Tom,
every
thanks.
Single meeting they have.
Yeah, Tom, thanks for that. Katie, Tom's really hitting on transparency here.
And I think we have a long tradition of transparency and open government in Wisconsin, and but it has been facing some threats lately. I think, Tom, I agree with you in spirit, and yet there are times when we do need our public servants to be hammering things out in private, or we're not going to make progress. So there are some issues in which you need preliminary negotiations, drafting of documents, that if everything were public, we might not move forward. I would agree with you that I think we've swung too far toward the opaque in government in the state, and I'd like to see us move back toward those open traditions. One of the things that I found heartening here was the response to the open records request, that we didn't get into some sort of, you know, long, drawn-out debate about whether this should be released or even litigation that the newspaper would have had to fight to gain access. So there is a little ray of hope there. But I think open government does not have to mean 100% transparency at every moment. But it also cannot mean that government officials try hard to hide behind the opacity that they do have.
Katie, George Floyd's death and his treatment by Minneapolis police officers have gained incredible national attention, in part because a bystander captured video footage of an officer kneeling on his neck as he died. What are our limits on recording the police, especially in public?
This has been such a hot topic, and something that, honestly, if you'd asked me 20 years ago was even an open question, I would have said you're out of your mind. The idea that a citizen cannot trigger a recording of police in a public space, it just stuns me that we would even have that conversation. I can walk down to State Street and record protesters with my cell phone camera. So why I would not be able to record police is just a kind of a crazy question to me. But it is something that is being argued in some jurisdictions, not here in Wisconsin that I'm aware of, though I could easily be wrong in that. But you know, trying to certain jurisdictions trying to pass legislation or ordinances that protect police from being recorded doing their duties in public. If you are on a public street, you can be recorded, and I think that should apply equally to police.
Yeah, so when you put your journalism ethics hat on, you're saying, you know, trying to understand why there would be a distinction between public officials or just regular people out and about and law enforcement. They should all be treated the same in public.
Well, you know, to sort of harken back to what Tom was saying, I think there is an obligation that they should be more recordable if they are public servants than if they are just you know, the average citizen. So, you know, given that you are doing the public's business, you are ultimately accountable to the public, and recordings of your activities can be argued to be part of that.
All right, Katie, thank you so much for your time today.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
Katie Culver is an associate professor in the UW-Madison School of Journalism and Mass Communication. She's also the James E. Burgess Chair in Journalism Ethics. Up next is news, then learn why every kid who's in state custody at Lincoln Hills or Copper Lake is getting letters from people who care about them, people they probably don't even know. I'm Keely Boltina. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.